Good morning. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin on our annual Pride Sunday. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I am the Reverend Michelle LaGrave, the interim co-lead minister here, and my pronouns are she, her. As a reminder to us all, we have added visual descriptions to our names, roles, and pronouns. These are meant to both support and welcome those of us with many types and degrees of visual loss and blindness, and sometimes also to indicate the social location from which we speak. I am a white, middle-aged woman with short, spiky, newly pinkly colored hair, wearing a rainbow stole. I am queer and disabled. And I am filled with joy to be here celebrating Pride with you today. I especially want to welcome you if you are new to our congregation, if you are joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you are viewing the service. There is an online visitor form at austinuu.org for those of us who would like to get to know each other better. Simply click on worship, which will show you a link to the form that you can fill out. We would love to hear from you and get to know you better. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you find yourself on your life's journey, whichever your pronouns, whether you've walked in or rolled in or joined in, whatever your abilities or disabilities, whomever you love, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning to those around you. Now let us greet the holy that lives in each of us.
Good morning again, everyone. I am Carrie Holly Hurt. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a white, middle-aged woman with blonde hair. I'm wearing big rainbow earrings and a blue jacket over a t-shirt that says Tigers for Trans Rights. Now let's light our chalice together. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation.
People sometimes ask, is Pride a protest or a party? And the answer is, of course, yes. And why not? Why not rejoice as we resist, dance as we demand change, celebrate as we create community that delights in all of who we are? So bring all of that with you this morning. Bring your policy demands, bring your glitter, bring your Supreme Court broken heart, bring your rainbow socks, bring the emptiness you feel for our siblings gone too soon. Bring your Gloria Estefan mix, bring your tender hope for change, bring your most garish eyeshadow, bring your spirit, tattered and battered by a world that seems insistent on choosing fear and hate. Gather up all of these things and bring them here to a place where we don't have to shoulder these burdens or celebrate these joys alone. Come, let us worship together.
One of the things that binds First UU together as a religious community is that this congregation has a common purpose. For First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, that common purpose is the mission. The congregation wrote it together and put it on the wall in the sanctuary. Every Sunday, church participants say it together so that we may more readily carry it with us in our hearts throughout the week. Let us say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Our reading this morning is Jesus at the Gay Bar by Jay Hume. He's here in the midst of it, right at the center of the dance floor, robes hitched up to his knees to make it easy to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed. Beg to be anything other than this. And he will reach his arms out, sweat damped and weary from the dance. He'll cup the boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in this heart of yours that ever needs to be healed."
This is the time in our service where we center ourselves together. We breathe together. As we breathe together, we are reminded of the beauty of community. Breathing in and out, we follow our breath to a deeper place, a place of greater wisdom, a place where a spark of the divine resides in each of us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence, all the while remembering that our human noises, from tiny babies' cries and giggles to big adult coughs, are opportunities for us to remember just how fortunate we are to share space with one another. And now I invite you to light a candle, if you are so moved. Candles representing sorrow or joy, pride, liberation, remembrance, resilience, whatever it is you need to honor during this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, and those who are celebrating joys. Let us hold this silence together throughout this meditative time. And now we light one last candle for all of those whom there is no one to light a candle. So, fun fact, Pride at this church is actually my anniversary. Almost a decade ago, I showed up at this church knowing nothing about you people and fell in love hard. So this is very exciting for me that I get to participate in this Pride ceremony today. So when Reverend Michelle, who is generous, asked me what I wanted to do, how I wanted to contribute, I said, well, I want to give my testimony. And I know that might be a little weird, but y'all, I come from a Pentecostal tradition, and so I'm going to give my testimony. And I hope that for those of you who were raised in a fundamentalist or otherwise soul-crushing church, that this does not trigger you. In fact, I hope my testimony is liberating and that it will inspire you to think about your own stories, your own narrative of growth and liberation. So growing up, I was different. I didn't fit in at all. My body didn't fit, my style didn't fit, my mind didn't fit. And I tried as best I could. I tried to act and look just like everybody else. I tried with clothes and hair, even got an eating disorder. I worked so hard to hide myself and to fit in all the right boxes. And then at some point, that all just became too much. It was too hard, too stressful. And after leaving my religion, I started to allow myself to be more me. And some of that included acting on my queerness. And it was freeing, but only up to a point, because I quickly found out that everyone I loved was not always loving about who I was. And so I stopped the process of coming out and went back into hiding. Well, half hiding, because I couldn't actually hide from myself anymore. Then many years later, my own kid came out as queer, followed by several of my loved ones who are younger. And I realized that I never wanted them to go into hiding. I knew that they were perfect and wonderful as is. And I did not want the world to suffer because they felt the need to hide. So I came out again. I fully came out to my loved ones. And this time, I didn't do it for their acceptance, but as a display of my own acceptance. And a really beautiful thing started to happen. I have began the process of accepting all the parts of who I am. Not just the queer part, but the neurodivergent part, the size of my body, my disabilities, and all of the ways that I will never conform to the societal standards of good enough. I will never fit into those boxes. You see, in embracing myself, I stopped embracing the boxes of patriarchy and internalized homophobia. When I decided that I was going to fully embrace my queerness and stop hiding, it started to lose control over me. This, to me, is the beauty of queerness and those who have said yes to their own queerness. They say, you, systems of supremacy, you don't get to control me. I'll not be confined by your boxes. Systems who tried to punish me into conforming no longer get to call the shots. So pride then is pointing to the liberation that is found in this act. Liberation on the most personal level. And please know that this message isn't just for queer people. I love straight people. Some of my best friends are straights. Like my husband, who is a straight cis man. No, this message is for all of us, because all of us need liberation. All of us feel the weight of the boxes that systems of supremacy try to force on us. The current contrived controversy with the Olympic boxers show us just how demanding and punishing these systems can be on all of us. We all need the liberation of self, that deep embrace of our own inherent dignity and worthiness. And that comes when we stop conforming and we stop hiding ourselves. We embrace ourselves. And while I know not everyone can do this publicly, because it's just not safe, I get it. When those of us who can do, we are doing the work of liberation of the beloved community. And this will eventually manifest in the breaking of those barriers, because we are all interconnected. Our liberation is interconnected. I'm so grateful for services like this. I'm so grateful for people who have affirmed me and loved me for me throughout the years. For this church in particular that is constantly working on being more welcoming, more radically welcoming. It is people and places like this that have made liberation possible for me. Let us all be those people. Let us continue to do the work of becoming a more radically welcoming church so that we can help others on their journey. Thank you.
This is my story, or a piece of it anyway. A portion of the truth that is me, that is my spouse, that is my family, that is you, that is all of us. Because I can't really separate out my story from the stories of those I love, those I know, those I don't know, but with whom I have crossed paths in some way. Our stories are interconnected because we are interconnected on the deepest level. Our stories go out into the world, shape and form each other, and then return to us, reshaping and reforming ourselves again and again. This story is a love story, and I don't mean a romantic, frilly sort of love, though that is a piece of it at times. I mean the kind of love story in which people come to love themselves and each other in a most agonizingly authentic way, and then have the courage to say to the world, "This is who I am." And this is who we are. The opening setting for this love story, my love story, is Andover Newton Theological School, a beautiful campus filled with tall trees and brick buildings, sitting on a hilltop just outside of Boston, Massachusetts, a rather typical New England scene. It began 15 years ago, and I was deep in the process of ministerial formation, becoming a Unitarian Universalist minister. While my own faith tradition, this faith tradition, had a long history of welcoming, affirming, and marrying people of all sexual orientations, these were new practices or emerging practices for many of the faith traditions present at the school and were a frequent topic of theological conversation, as was the question of gender and gender identity. The very first openly transgender people were attending the school, and the very first transgender panel had recently been held. Gay marriage was only a few years old in Massachusetts and less than a year old in nearby Connecticut, where I am from. What I'm trying to say in setting this scene is that everything felt very new and fresh and breaking in the area of GLBT rights. And yep, back then it was still GLBT. And so it was within this cultural context that I headed to the first day of class, pastoral care for GLBT people, with one of my best friends, Craig. We were joking around about something some of our friends had said about sexual attraction and how it works, and we decided to play a game, a bit of an experiment to bring back to the conversation. We would go to class and pick out the person to whom we most immediately, without thinking about it, felt attracted to, and then share about it with each other later. As I scanned the room, I immediately noticed a very butch-presenting person. Short, spiky hair, tats on her arms, thick brown leather bracelet, cool sunglasses hanging around her neck. Oof. I immediately felt the attraction and wanted to get to know her, so I went and sat kind of nearby. Afterward, I told Craig, who I had chosen. It was the first time I ever admitted out loud to another person that I felt attracted to someone who was a woman or was genderqueer. I was in my late 30s. About 2 months later, that person had become my girlfriend, my first and my only girlfriend. Coming out on campus was relatively easy because I lived there, which was kind of like living in a fishbowl. I met up with her after an evening class, and while walking around the campus in a circle, she took up my hand and held it. Boom. Done. I was out at seminary. Scary, but overall not too painful. What was terrifying was the prospect of coming out to my family and some of my friends. I was afraid of losing or damaging relationships with people I loved and cared about, and I did, but not the most important ones. Here's where social location is important. I was a white, cisgender woman, well into adulthood, super well educated, living in a liberal area of the country, following a call to ministry in the most progressive faith tradition available. I had all of the advantages, all of the privileges, except for money, that would bode well for coming out, and still, coming out was terrifying. I risked and I experienced real loss. I lost relationships and I lost jobs. We all do. It takes courage to come out. Coming out is an act of resistance. Coming out is an act of defiance. And coming out is an act of pride. But my story, my love story, did not end there. There was to be another coming out. Less than a year after meeting each other, my girlfriend came out as transgender. FTM, female to male, as we said back in the day. He had newly come into this identity partly as a result of some of that work we had done at seminary in that class where we met. My girlfriend was really a trans man. Many of you know him as my spouse, Micah. Yes, I married my ex-girlfriend. That's my favorite trans joke. Okay, it's my only trans joke, but I really, really like it. So now we had a second coming out as well as a gender transition. These were hard on both of us and in different ways. So while I share with you my story of my being attracted to a woman, having a first girlfriend, and using she, her pronouns to describe it all, that's the story from my historical perspective. Now, both Micah and I avoid the use of his dead name and use he, him pronouns to talk about him at any time and at any age, long before he came out as trans, long before he came out as a butch lesbian, long before he played softball, long before he joined the Girl Scouts, back to when he was a little kid who played football on the playground with the other little boys until they told him he couldn't play anymore because he was a girl. Returning to our love story, that summer right after graduation, Micah came out to his family and friends, shared his new name and pronouns, and began gender-affirming care. We joined support groups for trans people and trans partners. We marveled at the way people began to treat us differently when they thought incorrectly that what they were seeing was a heterosexual couple. I got through some terrifying moments when I was afraid for his physical safety. One or the other of us often raged at the mistreatment he received, especially in relationship to his health care. And we got through it all. We still get through it all with both love and courage and the support of Mom, who's wearing a Proud Mom t-shirt today. By the next February, Micah had legally changed both his name and gender marker. And knowing that we were to get married later in that summer, also took on my last name and became Micah Shiloh LaGrave. Our wedding was beautiful. We were married on the beach in Connecticut. I wore cargo shorts and a tiara. People who were walking along the beach joined in the circle of family and friends surrounding us for the ceremony. Strangers welcomed in to the trans partner wedding. All were welcome. But before that, we worried that our wedding wouldn't happen at all, or would only happen with great difficulty, at least legally. Because first, we had to get a wedding license. And though Micah had all his gender markers papers in place, and even though gay marriage was legal in Connecticut, it was not almost everywhere else in this country. It was an exciting but also a fraught time. We worried the whole way down to get the license and while standing in line and while being helped, and we thought we were right to be worried because as soon as we handed over our papers, it became clear there was a problem. The clerk took them in back, and there was a lot of whispering and a lot of consulting going on before she finally came back and said, You both have the same last name? Are you related? We laughed with relief. They didn't care that we were queer. They were concerned we might be committing incest. It never occurred to us that Micah changing his name a few months ahead of time might have caused such an issue. All of this is to say that while there are moments of humor and fun misunderstanding and lots of love along the way, coming out is long, hard, tough work. Coming out is never finally and fully over. It must be done again and again. And so it is that we have Pride every year. We support those who are newly coming out and those who have been coming out for a long, long time. And we remember that Pride began as a riot, led by trans women of color as an act of resistance, as an act of defiance and of agonizing joy to throw off the cloak of oppression and finally act free by simply being ourselves out loud, in public, and on the streets. Pride says, still says, you cannot, will not hold me down. You policymakers, you legislators, you enforcers, you false prophets, you conservative religious fundamentalists, you oppressors, you the system, you cannot hold us down. We will persevere and we will survive as we have always done. Whether we are lesbian, gay, asexual, bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, intersexual, transgender, non-binary, non-conforming, polyamorous, or plain old queer, we will persevere. We will survive. We are courageous, we are proud, and we will celebrate. May it always be so.
And now we extinguish this flame. Let's do it together. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
As we go forth, we offer you this final blessing. May you receive and reflect love everywhere you go and know, in your deepest heart and in every day. You matter and you belong.
May you hold on to hope and your inner sparkle, even when discouragement and despair beckon.
May the beauty that is you shine out, bright as the stars from which we came and to which we will return.
Together, may we make this place of welcome and healing, of connection and plurality.
Together, may we practice compassion and courage, seeing and celebrating and supporting each other.
Together, may we be the sparkling force of love that our world needs.
Blessed by this community and by the divine, go forth and celebrate with pride. Let us say together, Amen.
Amen.
And blessed be.
Blessed be.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.